The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 27th of June, 2019. We're having a pretty darn good June. Had a great May, weather-wise. And, a couple of years ago, I can remember leaving the radio station. It was like 119 degrees or something, one of the hottest days ever here in Tucson. So we're doing okay. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We make it very easy for the Buckmaster Show listeners to hear this program, have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We have an extensive archive of all of our programs, same place, buckmastershow.com, all of our podcasts. Usually get them up with in an hour or two, maybe three, at the conclusion of the program, so that they're for you. Our live line number, 790-2040. Let's begin now with a newsmaker interview with my friend Fletcher McCusker. Fletcher, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me. I turn 70 next month.
I can't believe it. Well, I was thinking, you're turning 70. May 31st, 1969, was my U of A graduation. And so that was 50 years ago. Yeah. But back in the, people would say, what do you mean end of May? Well, back in the day, 50 years ago, graduation at the U of A wasn't early May. It was like late May, and it was over at the stadium.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was at the stadium. And so like 50 years ago, and I was thinking, my goodness, coming up next week was my graduation present. 50 years ago, my first overseas trip to Lisbon, Portugal, and on to Spain on Pan American World Airways out of JFK. You talk about one excited kid. I was so excited. I don't think I slept for maybe 3 days before the flight. And on the flight over, that we had to take a bus to get to the terminal or something, I actually fell asleep. I was so tired. But by the time I got on the plane, I was all jazzed up and ready to go. But it is kind of a milestone year for both of us, Fletcher.
Yeah, I was probably 5 years behind you in school. So you're really old then. You got to ancient.
No. 71.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you just got through school faster.
I started school at a very young age. Anyway, let's talk.
Tucson then was a town of 235,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I first came out here in 65 from Chicago, I had heard about the University of Arizona through those surveys that indicated it was in the top three. You bet. Yeah. And I was not disappointed. In those days, everybody had these, what they called boondockers, where they would they'd have a keg of beer, right? Bob remembers this because Bob's from here too. Yeah, out in the Wash, the Rito, out in the River Wash. Yeah, that, and like River Road was like as far to the north, pretty much, as you would go. Then Wilmot, you were getting out in the boonies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk.
And
with,
look at us now.
Yeah, here we are reminiscing. Chairman of the Rio Nuevo District, downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax and held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for the use of funds. In fact, Fletcher, this is the 20th year, this, speaking of anniversaries, 1999, voters approved the creation of this district that allows the TIF funds to be reinvested in the community to create a better downtown area. Now, when you think about this 20-year anniversary, how would you kind of break that down?
Well, you have to remember the first 10 years were pretty much wasted. So what what none of us knew when we voted for that, at the bottom of that proposition, it was Proposition 400 in 1999, was a little asterisk that basically said, irregardless of what you're approving, the city of Tucson can do whatever we want. And as soon as they got voter approval, Bill, that's exactly what they did. they sold the arena to themselves. They, you know, launched all these harebrained projects. Most of them died.
Rainbow Bridge.
The Science Center, the IMAX Theater, yeah, the Aquarium.
The Aquarium.
You know, so literally, as we now know, almost $250 million was spent on projects that none of them ever were completed. The Fox Theater was completed, thank God. The Presidio downtown, and was the little wall was built. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it, you know. So, you know, if most of us would like to forget those first 10 years. The legislature.
So that was kind of phase one.
Yeah, the legislature seized the district from the city in 2010. Mm-hmm. And the board that is there today, we were all appointed in the summer of 2012. So mm-hmm. we really looked at the last 5 years in terms of recognizing our capability, productivity, how we spend money. And that was evidenced last year when the legislature granted us a 10-year extension. So, you know, Rio Nuevo really has only really worked in the last, say, 5 years.
What was the original footprint? What was the centerpiece going to? You mentioned the Rainbow Bridge, but what was it? Wasn't there an area that it was kind of built around?
Well, it's what's now the landfill. I mean, it was the it was Tucson's dump. They didn't tell you that in Proposition 400.
No, they
kind of forgot to mention that. But
it was built around or on a dump.
It was indeed the dump. Before we had the current dump, it was the dump. And, you know, they backfilled it with dirt and made a lot of promises to build on it. What none of us really knew at the time, which we now know very painfully today, it was probably never developable in its current state. So we've only made it halfway developable by removing the trash and hauling it to Los Reales.
What would it take to remitigate that land, make it so you could build on it?
$1 million an acre. There's about 30 acres still of landfill.
Is that something that could be done?
We don't have the money for that. The city doesn't have the money for that. So without finding some resources, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to see if there's some federal money or if the state would somehow participate with us. But short of that, unless it's remediated, Bill, it will never get developed.
So now here we are with phase three. Overview, taxpayers have certainly gotten their money's worth.
We think so. The smartest thing we ever did in 2012 was partner. So every project we've done except for the TCC has been in partnership with a private developer. So you've got their money in the game. You've got banks and other lending institutions involved. And we're typically just a small piece of those projects. So it's created sustainable projects. Just last week, we launched a $65 million renovation of the TCC. This was part of the original plan 20 years ago, was to build a new arena. Well, we now know that's a fool's mission. So we're going to invest in renovating everything that's currently at the TCC.
Will it be brought up to state of the art?
State of the art. It'll become our Lincoln Center. You know, we're going to finish the X Hall. We're going to redo the music hall. We're going to restore the plazas. We're building two parking garages. We'll continue to update Leo Rich. Their hotel is going to surround the property. It will be something we can all be proud of.
Now, will big-time acts who used to perform, Tucson used to be on everybody's list for the big-time acts, but now they go to the Indian casinos. Will they come back to the TCC?
The math's hard because we only seat 9,500 people.
Okay.
And it's hard for a producer to make money at that level. The reason you can go to the casinos is because these casinos will pay whatever to bring in an act.
To bring
people into the property. So yeah, They've become very competitive. There are some touring acts that literally go from one casino to another.
Oh, really? They don't even do acts. They don't even go to venues that are not casino.
Yeah, you start in Palm Springs and go across the country and play one casino after another. So, you know, Foreigner, which is not the original Foreigner, for example, gets $250,000 a night. Mm-hmm. And the only place they're going to get that kind of money is at a casino.
Do you know if America, which is performing Bob, aren't they performing at one of the casinos this week, right? Do you know, Fletcher, if that's the original group?
I think there's one guy in it that's original, and they right now get $50,000.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow. You write music, right?
I write and play. That's why I know what other people get, because we get about $20 when we...
What do you play?
I play rhythm guitar.
Okay. And you've been playing that since the 60s?
I've been in a band since I was a kid, yeah.
This
band's been together for 5 years, which is longer than the Beatles.
Wow. Let's talk about my favorite bakery, Fletcher, then we'll come back and talk about downtown. But right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Have you been up there?
I have not, no.
All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker, Steve, does such a great job with a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. They're very excited. They made a large investment in the grill, and they've got that up and running, so they can do now a hot breakfast. They're open at 6:30 each morning for breakfast. They're open right now. If you want to do breakfast, that's fine. They're open, of course, for lunch now. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but all of the great partners. Some of these are legacy partners who have been with us since day one of the Buckmaster Show, and day one was the first week of January in 2011. So we're now coming up on 9 full years at the end of this year. Be right back on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, our Thursday edition, talking with Fletcher McCusker. Fletcher is the chair of the Rio Nuevo District, downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board, and Fletcher is credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of Providence Service Corporation, a $1 billion company which he founded, to the downtown Tucson area. That was in 2010, I believe, right, Fletcher?
May of 10. Yeah.
There you go. Fletcher's latest venture, something called UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. And there's some really exciting things in the pipeline there.
Yeah, you had one of our companies on earlier, I think, on Zach's show. So it's important to remember historically, University of Arizona faculty could not benefit from their patents.
And why was that?
It belonged to the state. That was the position the state and the university's taken. So it's been changed now that they can indeed participate. So we're cooperating with faculty and inventors to help commercialize their product.
There was one thing that was really exciting about an alternative to opioids.
It's a great company called Regulonics. The university pharmacologist has invented a non-opiate, non-addictive painkiller invented here in a U of A lab. Bill, it could be the most important drug ever invented, and certainly in Arizona.
Time frame, hard to say on that drug?
Well, it's the FDA, so you never know once you get involved with drug approvals. But, you know, it's topical enough, important enough, where it could move quickly.
How big a deal is Rio Nuevo in terms of money, and are you almost built out? How big an investment has it been over the 20-year period? If you had to put
over
a price,
the 20 years,
yeah, over the 20 years,
yeah, it's $250 million in the first 10,
okay,
and about $50 million in the last 10.
Okay.
But that $50 million has leveraged about $400 million of private investment. So the difference between this version of Rio Nuevo is we're using other people's money. Mm-hmm. So the investment's twice what it was in the government-run Rio Nuevo days, but most of that money, Bill, is coming from the private sector. We collect right now about $20 million a year in our portion of the state sales tax.
What's the future, though? You're almost built out in the downtown area.
Unless we go west, then we'll go east. And the Broadway project's our next project, the so-called Sunshine Mile. Rio Nuevo will take title to 40 properties on the north side of Broadway between Euclid and Country Club. And we're going to renovate those, find alternative parking, and bring them up as retail.
You can't really go west until one of those issues is resolved that we talked about in the first segment.
Yeah,
the landfill.
Yeah, there's nothing going to happen over there until that somebody figures out how to remediate that.
What's going to happen in that so-called Sunshine Mile? Is that going to be a mixed-use area?
Yeah, we see a lot of small cafes, boutiques, small retail, kind of walkable, maybe some alley activation where you could bike or walk. We've got to deal with the parking challenges. So the Broadway doesn't cut through the buildings, but it literally will take the entire frontage. So these buildings are going to be about 8 feet off of the widened Broadway. So, but they otherwise would have been torn down. So the difference in sales tax is about $5 million a year.
Are we one of the last cities of our size to come to the table as far as fixing up the downtown area? And are there certain advantages of being a little bit late? Can you learn from others?
Yeah, I think our model was literally stolen from San Diego, because a lot of cities have done this, from Oklahoma City to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore to Albuquerque, Phoenix tried, Tucson tried. The most successful TIF we visited was, in fact, San Diego. Most people don't appreciate that downtown San Diego is a tax incentive district. And they were the ones that developed this partnership model. So everything you see in downtown San Diego came from a partnership with a private sector developer. We literally brought that back to Tucson.
Jeff has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Yes, good afternoon. I've got a little story about the community center. I wonder if maybe Mr. McCusker, if I got that right?
No, it's McCusker. Go ahead.
McCusker, thank you very much. It goes to why there are no big acts in Tucson, Arizona, coming to the community center. Garth Brooks was the last big act to come to Tucson. And at that time, Garth Brooks was very much into doing good for everybody. So he had, and he was at the top of his game. So everyone wanted to go. He offered his tickets for sale for $13, which was ridiculously low. He could have gotten $100. And the city of Tucson thought, well, gee, there's kind of a money left laying on the table there. They put a $2 surcharge on those tickets. And Garth Brooks found out about it and was infuriated. He moved his concert to the U of A, which many people will remember, wondering why it was there and not the community center. And he blacklisted Tucson, blackballed Tucson. The very next act that was due to come in was Reba McEntire, and she canceled. And that was it. There's never been another big act to come into Tucson. What? Anybody ever hear that story besides me?
That $2 fee still exists. It is a barrier to a lot of artists that don't want to see their tickets surcharged. Elton John, I think, has been in since. That's the really only large act that I've seen at the TCC recently. The Beach Boys performed there. But the average ticket price for that kind of event now is well north of $100. And the economics just don't work in a 9,000-seat arena. So those big acts are gravitating toward the 20,000, 22,000, 50,000 seat in the case of Glendale, where they can certainly attract more people. So we may never see another big act in Tucson.
The casinos don't seat 20,000. They seat maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah, they're willing to pay the act whatever they want. So their economics are really not a consideration. They'll bring in a big act and know they're going to lose money.
Jeff, before I let you go, do you recall the year of that that Garth Brooks concert? What year was that roughly?
I'm going to say mid-90s. I'll say 96. That could be wrong. It's in that area somewhere. Man, it was a big deal at the time. I'm sure somebody's got a better memory than I do.
Okay.
Getting old. Things get lost in the mist. But that was the deal. He was infuriated. And you're saying there's still a $2 surcharge. That may be. The deal was, at the time, that Garth Brooks didn't know anything about this $2. And the implication was that it had been slapped on there on the sly. And that's what infuriated him. Now, I don't know the truth in there, wherever that may be.
All right.
Telling you the story, but I'll tell you one thing: it's a fact. There's never been another big act back to that community center since that event.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff, for calling us, reminiscing about that Garth Brooks concert. And the U of A did get some pretty big acts, too.
Well, he's right about the TCC being blackballed, and I'm not sure it's cause and effect. But Live Nation, which is the biggest concert promoter in the world, literally would not use the TCC, and the sound system, the concessions, the restrooms, it indeed was blackballed. We have seen some concerts go back in there since we've done the renovation. But, again, with 9,000 seats, it's going to be hard to compete for the bigger acts.
But a 9,000-seat arena is nice for the folks that are going and watching the act.
Yeah, it's a very intimate environment. Yeah. You've got to have an artist that wants to play in a smaller venue, and they know they're going to collect less ticket revenue.
What was the biggest act you think you ever saw personally?
Well, I've seen the Stones, the Who, Paul McCartney, huge. I would probably say the Rolling Stones. And I'd see them again in a New York minute.
Yeah. Speaking of the Stones, I saw them in rather intimate setting, summer of 64, at Chicago's McCormick Place, and we were like third row, and it was so great. They opened with that song called Under My Thumb. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And I'd say the Beatles were the biggest act that I ever saw, and that was at Comiskey Park in Chicago.
It's rarefied air. Very few of us actually saw the Beatles live.
The problem there was you didn't hear the Beatles.
Right.
It was like She Loves You, and after that first sentence, it was screaming the whole night. All right, Fletcher, so what's do you operate on a fiscal year, Rio Nuevo?
We're a calendar year, so our year will close in December. We just did our budget for next year, right around $2 million a month of income. We produce about $4 million a year of profit, which we invest back into projects. There's a couple of infill projects downtown we're still interested in. We've got some hotels that are inbound. The DoubleTree at the TCC is going up as we speak. Another Hilton across the street. We might see some other hotel activity, and then our Broadway project, and then we're pretty much out of business.
I can remember the day when Tucson could not attract any hotel interest. I'm talking about 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, the AC Marriott changed that for downtown. I mean, they were really a trailblazer. People were just shocked that they picked Tucson. That is the most successful AC in the Marriott chain in terms of revenue days, room rates, and percentage occupancy. So that's attracted the Hilton. Hilton's building three hotels downtown. We've seen the Hyatt in town. I think you're going to see more hotel activity.
We haven't seen any new kind of resorts come online, though, have we? It's all been the downtown area.
Yeah, the so-called boutique hotel, 150 beds, 170 beds. That's a very affordable
model.
That's
kind of the future of the industry, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we see happening. Remember, the old Rio Nuevo Hotel, I think, was going to be 500 beds.
Right.
That's the one they built in Phoenix that's bankrupt now. There's just not enough demand on something that big.
All right, Fletcher, happy birthday to you. Your birthday's coming up here in a couple of weeks, turning 70 years old. Thank you very much for coming in.
Bill, thanks for having me.
All right, Fletcher McCusker here on the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk coming up next. What is this, the anniversary kind of show for Buckmaster? We're going to talk about the 75th anniversary of the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. That's next on Buckmaster.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass playing a little bit of a bump music, America. Bob, grab your mic. You said that there are, how many original members are there of the group America?
Oh, my gosh. I thought there was, six? And it looks like they're up to, what do they have, eight on,
oh, touring
on the
with them
or on
something? The tour. There's probably there's one original member then from the group. Anyway, this portion of the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Here's the good news. It's cooler over there. It's 5,500 to 7,000 feet, so that means it will be cooler, and so it's worth the 3-hour drive to visit a beautiful area of the United States and the southwestern corner of the land of enchantment. I always recommend Buckmaster Show listeners start their search before they go over to the trip. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There's all the places to stay in this really nice places, all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Big anniversary coming up for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. 75 years, Diana Cannon. That means it's the diamond anniversary.
It means it's a lot of years serving our community and successfully been able to save over 1 million animals in that 75-year span.
Wow. Diana Cannon with us in studio. Diana does such a great job as the Chief Development Officer for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. And over the last few years, Diana, we've talked and visited about the run-up to the new facility, and I can't believe it's been a year.
It's been a year. But boy, we are so happy to be in our new facility. The animals are happy, the staff, the volunteers. It was a long wait, but it sure was well worth it.
Do you think it makes a difference when people go to a facility like that to for the, you know, the potential for the adoption compared to the old facility?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because we now have a facility where the animals can show better.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds kind of odd.
It's true.
But, they're in nice, clean, big kennels. They're in catios. They're in nice. So it just presents a whole lot better. And it's so much more engaging with our meet and greet yards and our meet and greet rooms.
And for those that still remember the old location, off of Fort Lowell, tell us about the new location for those that have not been over and checked it out.
Well, we are now located at 635 West Roger Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so we still have a beautiful full-service clinic where we can do low-cost spay-neuter, low-cost vaccinations. We have a separate building now for admissions. So if people need services, if they need to relinquish an animal or they find an animal, they don't have to come into the adoption center to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot more amenable to our guests and to the animals.
Diana Cannon is with us, the Chief Development Officer for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, with me in studio. And we're talking about the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, which is now preparing for their big event. And that's what we want to talk about next, the Diamond Anniversary, a 75th anniversary deserves something special, Diana, and I think you've got a pretty nice special evening coming up.
We do. We have a lot of programs leading up to our mm-hmm. special banquet on, that's Saturday, July 13th.
Okay.
It's at the Hilton El Conquistador, mm-hmm. and we are very proud that celebrity dog trainer Brandon McMillan, who is an Emmy Award-winning trainer, but
from
he's
on, CBS, right?
He's
yeah.
from CBS uh-huh. Lucky Dog. His show
a
is
Lucky
Dog on
uh-huh.
Saturday mornings.
Wow.
So if you're not into watching cartoons, I would just highly recommend you tune into him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming into town as our keynote speaker. We're going to have some shelter dogs there for him to actually do live training demonstrations. But it's just going to be a fun-filled evening with a live auction, silent auction, and then of course Brandon McMillan, and then we're going to have a special appeal. We're going to debut our New Beginnings K9, our new video promoting that brand new program that we introduced when we moved to our new campus.
Tell us about that program.
Well, the New Beginnings K9 program pairs dogs that arrive at the shelter that have maybe faced some adversity. Maybe it was cruelty, neglect, whatever it may have been.
They're special needs.
They're special needs. Mm-hmm. And they're under-socialized. There's no confidence. And so they need some special behavioral attention. So what we've done is we've developed this program with the help of Tom and Linda Grissom that pairs the animals with inmates. We have the Department of Corrections inmates who come every day to our campus and they help us clean and feed. But we've identified some of these inmates that have trained specifically with our behavioralist on helping to train these animals in the basic skills so that they learn to calm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they learn just the basics, sit, stay, come, what the word no means.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps build the confidence of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, they become so much more adoptable.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come, they see them, they see their good manners,
they
get them home, and we've completely reversed the rate of return of these animals. Because so many times they get home, and people didn't know how to train them further.
Yeah.
So we're sending them home with those basic skills. And on the flip side, the inmates, they're gaining a skill.
Right.
So when they leave, they can then take that out into the workforce if they choose to stay in this field.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's anything that I would say that the inmates have sent to me is that I've really built my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to be patient, not only with the animals, but with human beings.
Yeah.
So we feel it's a win-win situation.
It's a special bond.
That
is created there. I like that program. It's called New Beginnings Canine Program. I like that. Good idea. And then getting back to your event, the 75th anniversary banquet dinner, Diana Medeiros is going to have some original artwork will be involved in the silent auction. But hey, I really like this. I should have brought this up when Fletcher McCusker and I were sitting here talking about rock concerts that we had seen and loved. And we actually were talking about the Rolling Stones because there's going to be an autographed Stones guitar.
Absolutely.
At this event. So that is very, very cool.
And when you think about the history of the Rolling Stones, there's a lot of us that were strong supporters and followers of that band.
And still are in many cases. So what should be the protocol about getting involved in this event coming up?
Well, if you're interested, the tickets are only $75 a seat, or if you want a VIP ticket, that will then give you access to a special happy hour with Brandon McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is available on hssaz.org/75. All of the information is there.
How are the adoption rates going these days? And have you noticed an uptick since you've been in the new facility?
We are over 90% of our animals are adopted.
Okay.
So they find their forever homes.
Right.
You know, I have to say that, your question of have we seen an uptick?
Mm.
We did such a good job, even in a broken down facility, that we've been able to sustain that high level of service to our community and to the animals. So we haven't dropped any, but we've been able to sustain that high criteria.
And all of your programs have transferred over to the new facility on Roger Road.
Yes,
including the low cost vet services.
Yes, the low cost spay neuter.
The education.
Yes,
the microchipping. This is really important.
Absolutely, and we're coming into that time of the year when it's important to have your animals microchipped.
Well, the 4th of July is just really for animals. That's a horrible time for the animals, and of course, the therapy. And really, the New Beginnings Canine Program, I think, is certainly fits in that category.
It does. It does. And, you know, one of the special events surrounding the anniversary, Bill, is on the 4th of July, we're actually going to do, it's called Pause Pages and Patriots.
Okay.
We invite in active duty, military, veterans and their families to come in that evening, bring a book,
mm-hmm.
and in a calm environment, read to the dogs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because it's very unnerving for the animals, too, with all these fireworks, as well as our military.
Yeah. Sure, so, that's a great idea. More information about that on your website.
Yes,
and if people Google Humane Society, Tucson, Southern Arizona, they're going to get there.
Absolutely.
All right. Diana Cannon, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure be here. Thanks
a lot. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and joining us in studio is award-winning writer Aurelie Sheehan, professor of creative writing, and she's the head of the English department at the University of Arizona. She's the author of the University of Arizona Press book titled Demigods on Speedway, also the author of Jewelry Box, a collection of histories, and the novel History Lesson for Girls. Her new work is titled Once Into the Night, a collection of 57 brief stories published by the University of Alabama Press. Radical in its conception of story, this collection blurs the line between fiction, poetry, and essay. Aurelie, always good to see you.
It's so good to be here, Bill.
And congratulations, now head of the English department. And
Thank you.
The last time you were on the program, we were talking about Demigods on Speedway, a book I enjoyed very much. And I should have asked you at the time about the origin of Aurelie. I've got to let our listeners know, I've never heard that name before. Tell us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's very appropriate to talk about that in relationship to this book, too, because it's so much part of my own personal history, a little bit of a legend of in my family is France, the country of France. My dad was stationed there in the army when my mom was pregnant, and they saw the name Aurélie or Aurélie with the French way of saying it on a calendar, and they said, "Oh, that looks like a good name for our baby to come."
Wow, you know. There's always a story if you ask people about names.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
It's just, not only is it an icebreaker, and I've used this actually, we've traveled all over the world. You ask someone, if a name in particular sounds very different to you, ask about it, you're going to get a great story. And that, you know, that leads us to this book. It's about stories. And this book is kind of hard, not kind of, it is hard to get a handle on. How would you describe these short stories? And in some cases, they're almost like mini stories, like two sentences.
Yes, it's true. The shortest one really is two sentences. The title's practically longer than the story itself in that case. So this book was kind of an experiment, and it was something I wanted to do something that was really different formally than other work that I had done. I was interested in the idea of writing fiction for sure, you know, not trying to state facts or be on the record as a journalist or a memoirist even in any particular way, but to try to have some kind of a sense of respect or have the origin in the life of the mind, the life of our imagination. You know how we all have this sort of dual existence. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I read your resume or you read mine, you may know something about me, but you really won't necessarily know, you know, just those sort of flavors, the dreams, the things that make a person an individual. And I wanted to have some access to that in these short stories. So what I did is I created 57 first-person pieces that purport to be true in a way. You know, I am this, I am that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But have it be completely untethered from my actual biography. So there's a bits and pieces of my biography in it, but there's a lot of the imagination, too.
Well, why don't we begin with the first of the 57. This one, because we're on the radio and have limited time, is one of the shorter pieces, but I want you to read it and then we'll talk a little bit about it, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Give us the reading.
This story is called Origin. I was born on a bench in a park in a small country. Everyone knew each other back then in that place. I was born in the swift of night, however, and to be honest, they weren't completely sure I'd been born on the bench, but it was on the bench I was found by them, the warm people of that small country.
So what are we to make of this?
Well, I wanted to let the readers know what they were in for so they could, you know, close the book and walk away or be intrigued and go on. Maybe someone's been born on a bench, but I haven't. I thought it would be kind of intriguing to think of an origin that was mysterious, was dreamy, and had a little bit of a sense of the romantic in it. And so I created this sort of mini legend, as it were, about myself, you know, or the I character, really, in this. So there's that. I say something a little absurd, but I also kind of wink at the reader by sort of saying they weren't completely sure I'd been born on the bench. So I'm sort of letting the reader into the premise so that we can be on the same side of this story.
Well, I think being a professor of creative writing, I think what jumps out out of this book is the creative side. I think it's fresh, it's unusual, and I strongly recommend this book for somebody that if you think you're going into it and you're going to know the meaning of each of the 57, it takes a while. But I'll tell you, after you read a few of these, you think about them for a while. And what does she mean by that? So, I mean, it's completely different than anything I have read before. And that's a compliment to you because you really have dug deep into the creative process.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. One way, I know that they're a little whacked out.
Yeah.
Some of them are, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure that the reader, you know, was with me, at least mm-hmm. to some extent. And one way I did that is I kind of created a life. So it starts with born. I was born right. on the bench. And
born
then it
on the
ends
bench.
At very close, in a nursing home, very close
right.
to the end. So it has a kind of arc mm-hmm. of a life.
Mm-hmm.
It has a middle passage and that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that that keeps people from getting too confused, like, you know, what are these? Are these dreams or are these real?
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you see if you can find the real short one? Maybe we can work that in, the one that's two sentences long. We're speaking with Aurelie Sheehan, professor of creative writing at the University of Arizona. She's head of the English department, and I like her new work very much. It's completely different than anything you've ever read before. Once Into the Night, and this is the briefest of the 57 stories. Do you have it there, Aurelie?
No, I don't yet.
Oh, you don't
Where
have
is it,
it there. It's somewhere in the middle.
Oh, here it is.
Did you find it? And it's like, you know, when people say, hey, I do short stories. Well,
yeah.
You won't find one that's shorter than this, so go ahead.
This one's called Query. Where do the drunk people go? I go to a place of splendid isolation.
Your thoughts on that quickly.
It's a little odd. It's kind of it's a little quirky, mm-hmm. a way of thinking about being drunk, but not in a kind of scientific way.
Right.
I a lot of these very short flash fiction prose poems come out of my love of Baudelaire, who was a French prose poet who mm-hmm. he had a prose poem called Drunkenness, and mm-hmm. It's a bit of an homage to him.
Mm. Okay. Who were your influences growing up, and did you keep a journal as a young girl, a writing journal?
I did keep a journal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too much of a writing journal. It was more like I'm so upset today. What happened to me? And, you know,
sure.
in the classroom or on the in the parking lot. But yes, I loved reading. I loved poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace Stevens, Sylvia Plath, and many others. And I think that poetry was a big influence for me. And you can pretty much see that coming out in this collection.
The good news for those of us that like to actually have a book in our hands, Aurelie, is that I read in the New York Times a week or so ago that all the predictions that Kindle would make books like the book we have in front of us obsolete, just not happening. I mean, the Kindle thing sort of peaked,
mm-hmm.
but now people are going back to hard copy books, which is really good, I think.
It is great. Like people are going back to LPs as well.
Yes, and I like that trend as well. Aurelie Sheehan, where can people find the book?
It's sold.
On
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I did a lovely little signing at Barnes & Noble earlier
mm-hmm.
in the spring. Antigone Books has it, and I'm hoping to do a reading there in the fall. So there's lots of places you can pick it up.
Aurelie Sheehan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Aurelie.
Thanks.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. On behalf of my guest, Aurelie Sheehan, and my great engineer producer, I call him my friend-engineer. That's like, he's my friend, he's my engineer. So he's Bob Dio, friend-engineer. Good job again, Bob. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great afternoon. Be back with you Friday edition coming up tomorrow. Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor of the Chair, talking about that very important meeting about the budget next Tuesday. Have a great afternoon.